It's time now for a Jefferson College sports presentation brought to you by AM 1400 KJFF and MIMOinfo.com.
3-2. Swung on as she drills this one to deep center field. Make that 5 home runs for Ostoff. A solo blast makes it 2-0. Jeffco. Lindsay gets it back over Zuluaga. Jeffco, Meyer set up. Yeager powers that one up and over, and Jeffco secures the match. 3-1 on the way, and this one is hammered deep into the air to left field, and the first baseman, Anthony Green, has a no-doubt solo shot. Here comes Triplett. Far side three for Cauley. The dagger, yes, ma'am, knocks that one in, pumps their chest with the right hand, and Jeffco leads it 76-62.
For 1-2 on the way, swing and a miss, strike three, and Jefferson College wins this one 2-1.
Time to send it out to our regional radio sports team.
Well, good afternoon and evening to you. I am Matt Greenwood for Viking Voices, and today we've got a full lineup here with head coach Pat Evers of the Jeffco baseball team and also Riley Boyd and Joey Pollock. And Pollock coming down the wire just a little while ago, the NJCAA Player of the Week. Five home runs, 11 RBIs, and a .600 batting average. Yeah, so well-deserved there for sure. We'll get a chance to ask him about that and the season so far. Jeffco, 12 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. So very impressive start to the year. Also, the Vikings baseball team, number 12 in the NJCAA Division I ranking. So everything is pretty good for you, Coach Evers, right now, 15 games in. Again, 12-2-1, and things seem to be headed in the right direction.
Yeah. It's kind of encouraging. We've played well and won some games, but I don't think by any means we've really played as well as we're capable of, and I don't think we've really put together a full game or a full weekend. So, it's good, but end of the day, we're 15 games into this. We got a long way to go, and a lot more baseball left to be played.
Yeah, certainly, and the number that pops out really is the team batting average for you guys, .320. Going into the season, midway point just about for you guys, did you kind of see this batting average being at that point?
I think if you want to be a successful junior college program, if you're not having a team batting average that's going to be .320 or higher, you're really just not very good offensively. Traditionally, the teams that we've had have typically been, if you're someone that's a successful junior college hitter and want to move on the next level, it's consistently probably as a player hitting .350 or higher. I think as team goals that we have is to have 100 doubles on a season, to have 50-plus home runs, to steal 100 bases. We probably won't get that last one, but, offensively, to be a good offensive club and a top 20 club, I think it's, the .320 or higher batting average is consistently what we've typically done.
You mean Joey Pollock's not going to get you guys to 100 stolen bases this year?
No, he got one, so that's probably one more than I thought he was going to get. But
and he had that stolen base the same day that Riley Boyd put up a good performance. So that Three Rivers doubleheader 2 days, it was 4 games against Three Rivers. You sweep those 4 games. Were you guys confident going into that series? And I imagine you probably were, but kind of where was the level there? And then I'm sure it's probably skyrocketed since.
Yeah, I think it's happy with the weekend and win 4 games. It's tough beating anybody 4 times, whether it's, it doesn't matter really who it is. So region weekend, getting off the series with the conference and region on a good note, sweeping a series is nice. I think the big thing to take away with it, I don't think we could really look into ourselves in the mirror and think we put 4 consistent games together or 1 9-inning game, even as you might have won by 8 runs or 9 runs or whatever it might have been. I really don't think we played our best games yet. So, it's a lot to be happy with. Hey, it's 4 wins, and their conference, their region games are important games. But at the end of the day, I think it's a challenge for us isn't to be worried necessarily so much about wins or losses, just playing better baseball.
Well, I mean, the fact that you got a team batting average of 320, 105 RBIs for this team through 15 games, 118 runs scored, and it still is not warm yet outside. So I'm sure you're probably impressed by those home run numbers, being up to 15 team home runs without having, you know, a 70, 80 degree day to play some baseball.
Yeah, it's good. I think one of the strengths of this team, they will have the ability to hit for some power, and it's definitely encouraging to see some guys step up and get off to a good start. Anthony Green, who's probably someone that should be a leader on this team offensively and a quality player that's obviously been injured since his first doubleheader we had. So it's nice to see some of those other guys step up and see some freshmen get off to some good starts during their first 15 games. And I think even going through this, there's probably a couple guys in the lineup that we're going to be counting on that necessarily haven't gotten it going yet. But, I think we're happy with where we're at offensively for now.
Well, let's keep talking about that offense, because clearly it really is what jumps off the page. Dalton Doyle with three home runs. Raul Elguzabal.
Elguzabal.
What's the nickname for him?
Just call him Raul.
Raul, there you go. That's a lot easier for the rest of us. So those guys have combined to hit six home runs this year. As we mentioned, Pollock with seven on the season so far. When you were talking about team goals and where you kind of want to get the stats, did you throw out there how many home runs you want to get to?
No, not necessarily. I mean, okay. There's probably things in the back of your mind. It's just a team when you compare it to offensive teams in the past where, hey, typically a good offensive team we had here has been, you know, you typically hit 50-plus home runs or you average a home run a game. But, I don't know how much. End of the day, it's about producing runs, and it doesn't really matter how they come. You know, I think you look at quality players and guys that can either, hey, drive in runs or score runs, and that's what sticks off the page. What you really look on at the offensive side of it. I think the home run, hey, that's a bonus, and that looks good on paper, and it's nice having the ability to score, you know, runs in bunches when you have someone that can leave the yard and hit a two-run home run or three-run home run, and you don't have to scrap three singles across. But, I think it's a byproduct of, you know, sometimes, hey, you're hitting a hitter-friendly park, but, just having quality hitters, and it doesn't really necessarily matter how you score the runs, just as long as you're scoring them.
How much pride do you take in the fact that the first rankings come out by the NJCAA and, you know, Division I rankings, and y'all are number 12 right there? Do you think, I talked to a lot of high school coaches, and you know, when they get ranked, they're like, we're not really focused on that. But I can't imagine when you got guys that are coming to a college to play for something more, you know, to get to Major League Baseball, essentially. That's, I'm sure, the ultimate goal for these guys. I'm sure when you see that 12th rank and you see the stats that the team is putting up, you kind of take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, it's a feather in the cap, and it really is nice just more from a recruiting standpoint, just because guys see that, and that's where it's probably gets a little bit more attention. Our team, I don't think, got ranked until the last couple polls last year, and we had a 45-win team that I thought was as good as we've had here in years past. So, I mean, junior college rankings is not as if it's there's 10 people that are voting on this and trying to cover this across the country. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to be recognized. I don't know if I'd necessarily say we're the 12th best team in the country at this point. I think we got a lot of work to do, but, it's nice to be recognized.
I see Joey and Riley nodding their head about, you know, still some work to do. That's such a coach answer, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a bunch of cliches, but I mean, right. it's the truth. I mean, it's,
mm-hmm. No, I get it.
You know, you're not to be happy when you're 15 games in the season with where you're at. I mean, there's a long way to go. There's a big weekend coming up, and there's more games to be played, and there's just so many things that can happen over the next, you know, 40 regular season games that we're playing plus postseason. And honestly, none of this really matters so much until May, and you get to postseason, and you know, you can play a three-game series, and you play have two bad games, then, you know, the previous 56 don't really mean quite as much. But
right,
that's what the goal is to be building for.
Well, and the thing about cliches is they're not cliches. They're cliches because they're true.
Yeah,
it happens. So, all right. Well, as we've been talking about the offense, let's talk about the pitching, since we do have an offensive guy and a pitching guy here. Riley Boyd had an excellent performance against Three Rivers, seven innings. Y'all played a seven-inning game, so a complete game for Boyd there. And just surrendered two hits, didn't walk a batter, struck out eight guys. Talk about his performance over the weekend.
Really good. And the thing that stuck out, Ryan did a very good job just getting ahead of hitters and really throwing three pitches for a strike and, you know, going after the team, being aggressive and doing all the things that we talk about with the pitching staff as far as first pitch strikes and being aggressive and trusting your stuff and did a great job, and especially after bouncing back from a previous outing that was just kind of, you know, wasn't quite his best the week before against Rend Lake. So, as good of a starting performance we've had from anybody this year, and definitely a flash of what he's capable of doing.
We didn't get a chance to really dive into the other games that you did. So he gets the win there, but you won 6-2, 8-0, 7-2, 12-4. What about the other pitching performances? Where did you? How proud of you of those guys were you on those? Games?
Oh, I think as a staff, I think I think you're starting to get a little bit better glimpse of what guys are. You know, especially when they get two or three and four outings out there. Austin Shealy's been very good early on throughout the season. Drake Salzman's done a very good job. Josh Ray, I think, still hasn't really pitched as well as he's capable of. Jason Rackers has thrown well, but I think he's capable of a little bit more. I think across the board, I think we're happy with where we are, but there's those things, and it's just like anyone else in the country. I mean, you hope you're not playing your best baseball 3 weeks into the season, 4 weeks into the season. So I think we're happy with the path that we're on, and the guys have worked hard and done a very good job preparing themselves, and there's still things that we need to clean up and get a little bit better at. But as a whole, I think we're happy with the pitching performance, offensive performances, and I think the trend is we're going in the right direction.
Maybe something I should have asked you a little bit earlier. When guys are on your team, pitchers, hitters, I'm sure there's a lot of advice that you give them about, you know, how to approach this and how to approach that, whether it's the hitting or the pitching side. Have you seen in your 4 years here at Jeffco, have you seen a lot more guys come to you saying, hey, what do I need to fix? Or is it something where you see them hit, you see them pitch, and you're like, okay, I see this, and maybe we can correct that and something like that?
No, I think it's a little bit of a mix. I think the one thing that's a characteristic from the majority of the guys that come through here is guys come in and they want to get better, and they ask questions, and I don't think you see many people that have the feeling that they have it all figured out. But I think it's kind of a two-way street where you're giving your input, but you know, part of it is, you know, players coming to you and, hey, I need to find a way to get better, and what are some things that I do? What do you think about this? I think the one thing the trend has gotten with so much more technology available, video, and just everything else that's available to the players. I think players now, and when I first got into coaching, do a much better job just taking care of themselves, preparing than they ever did before, just because there's so much more stuff available to them.
All right, Coach Evers, one more question before I let you go. We've got Crowder College coming up this weekend, a doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday. Hopefully the weather participates there. I didn't take a look at the forecast in Neosho, but let's hope it's a good forecast for you there. Probably still chilly as heck, but they're a team 12-5, so they've had some early season success as well. And you look at some of their numbers offensively, they don't quite match up with you guys, and pitching's a little slow out of the gate, but kind of your assessment of them.
It's typically, we've always had very competitive games with them. It's always been a rival in the region, a lot of mutual respect for the programs. They'll be talented. They'll be just like us. In the last several years, I think it's been us one, them two, them one, us two. So it'll be a really fun series.
Any ideas who you're going to be starting out there?
We do Riley Boyd, Josh Ray, Jason Rackers, and Lucas Kroll.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks for being with us on Viking Voices. And I think now the people are going to love to hear from the players. So
absolutely.
We'll get to Joey Pollock coming up after the break. You're listening to Viking Voices on KJF.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
He's back. Dr. Dwayne Helton has returned to Comtree Comprehensive Health Center. Dr. Helton would like to invite his former patients and folks who are looking for a well-respected and caring physician to make an appointment today by calling 877-COMTREE. That's 877-266-8732. The doctor is ready to see you. Call 877-COMTREE. Comtree, health happens here.
Well, you got to check out Joey Pollock sometime. Come to a Jefferson College Viking baseball game and watch Joey Pollock absolutely rake. And that's what he did this past week, over the weekend against Three Rivers and some games before that against Ellsworth. And Joey Pollock, the NJCAA Player of the Week, 5 home runs, 11 RBIs, and a .600 batting average. Joey, welcome on to Viking Voices.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having us.
All right, so doing a little research on you, University of South Carolina commit, had knee injury, some knee surgery, decided, not to risk not getting some playing time up there, so you come over to Jefferson College, and you're off to a great start. Looking at the stats, 7 home runs, 16 RBIs, a great walk-to-strikeout ratio with 10 walks and only 12 strikeouts, and you're batting .500, and you went .600 over this past week. Talk about the week, and was that honestly one of your best weeks in all the baseball that you've played?
Yeah, it was definitely something we've been working on throughout the fall and the off season. I went through. I've been working at the Sandlot with the St. Louis Pirates with Coach Rick Strickland and Coach Bunsmeyer. I've kind of been mixing up those two things, and I think I finally found something that clicked for me. And as an offensive unit, all of us have been working really hard, and I think it's all starting to click a little bit.
Being a right-handed hitter, was it your left knee or right knee?
It was my right knee.
Okay, so that's the one where you kind of rely on, lean back a little bit, get that power in there.
Right.
How much of an, in terms of going through all the therapy and whatever that you had to go through to get back to full strength, or are you at full strength?
Yes, definitely am.
Okay. What was that the first time you kind of experienced that process?
I had elbow surgery right when I got into high school, my freshman year, but never had anything lower body that really affected me. So it was definitely something I had to work hard at getting back into, and I definitely feel much better than I did prior to that.
What was your high school career like out in, Quincy, Illinois?
Yes, Quincy, Notre Dame.
Quincy, Notre Dame. All right. So what was your high school career like? Were you putting up the 20 home runs every year too?
It was a little different. My high school field was actually, it played really big. The wind blew in every day. So.
Oh, great.
It was a little bit different, but no, I loved it. Coach Martin and Coach Oden were my two coaches along with my dad. He went out there and he threw a lot of batting practice to us and everything. But I had a great career there. I loved every moment of it. Teams were very successful. We made some good runs in playoffs, and we always were well over .500 and always had good years.
Now you're on a team here at Jefferson College that has a history of being very, very good, and Coach Evers, your coach here. What are some differences that you've noticed between your high school coaches and what Evers brings to the table?
They're actually really similar. High school coach and Coach Evers coached the Quincy Gems together in the Prospect League, so that's kind of how I learned about this place, along with Lucas Kroll. We've been friends for years, and he kind of eased my way into coming here and made it definitely a lot easier, so it felt more at home. And it's a lot of those things are similar. I mean, all the things that we learn from Coach Oster and Coach Bunsmeyer and all those, all those things they teach us, it's all very similar to what I've been learning the past few years.
What about this team? What do you like about this team?
We're hungry. It's been great. Obviously, I redshirted last year, so I felt like I was kind of less of a part of a team, but at the same time, I still felt like I was, helping in different ways. But with this team, I feel like we're more of a family. Everything's more close, and everyone's striving to not just get to the next level but make this season successful.
Now, I introduced you as being NJCAA Player of the Week. What does that honor mean to you?
It's really humbling. Like I said, last year I redshirted, so obviously I've been trying to work really hard and, getting back on the field. And so having something like that, being recognized for something like that is really humbling. And hopefully, all of us can have weeks like that coming up.
Did you surprise yourself at all with that kind of week with those 5 home runs?
A little bit. It's been, I've been working extremely hard to get where I am now, and as everyone else on the team. So, putting up like numbers like that is great. I just see it as kind of doing my job and helping the team out.
As we were talking to Coach Evers, he talked about, you don't want to be playing your best baseball 3 weeks into the season, which is kind of where you guys are at about a month or so, back in early February. But at the same time, you are having success, and I'm sure that's a confidence booster for you guys as you progress through the year.
Right, and I think we're a team that doesn't get too big-headed. I mean, I think we're a team that's going to, you know, keep the foot on the pedal and just keep rolling. I don't think we're satisfied with where we are right now. We can definitely play better baseball on both sides of the field. So I definitely think that there's things that we need to work on, and I think it'll make us a better team.
Now, you're listed as an infielder, or are you a first baseman?
Just an infielder, you know, corner infield.
Okay.
I'm obviously a bigger guy for a corner spot, so I've been playing first base with Anthony Green out, so we've had to put some other guys in the outfield, and freshman Dalton Doyle's really stepped up at their base, and he's doing a great job. So, you know, that's just another thing. We're really flexible as a team, so we can go out there and, you know, kind of throw guys where we need to, and they'll get their job done.
Now, Quincy, Illinois, is that close to the southern border of Illinois, kind of near Missouri?
It's about 2.5 hours north of here, so it's right in that tri-state area with Missouri and Iowa, so it's just right on the Mississippi River.
You get a lot of friends and family come down to see you play some baseball?
Every once in a while. Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, obviously I was about 13 hours away from home last year, so being able to see my family more often has definitely been nice.
I know you were injured for the time that you were at South Carolina, but did you learn some things about yourself in that first year of college there, not just on the field but off the field?
Yeah, I learned a ton. I mean, I had to learn how to take responsibility, you know, for my own actions. The biggest thing for me was probably time management. I had to learn how to, you know, cook my own food properly, make sure I had my school schedule planned out, study hall hours, all this stuff with homework, and, of course, trying to have a little bit of a social life as well. So I definitely learned, you know, a lot of things there on and off the field, and overall it was a good experience.
All right, very cool, very cool. Well, I'm sure Jefferson College is more than happy to have you with 7 home runs and 16 ribbies to start the year. We're gonna save some time here for Riley Boyd, but just a couple quick more questions, kind of give people an idea as to who Joey Pollock is. You got any siblings?
Yes, I have 2 older sisters.
Okay, did they ever pick on you? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely did. My oldest sister, or my middle sister, actually plays softball at a D2 school in Carolina as well. So we were about an hour and a half apart, and then my oldest sister is an athletic trainer in Chicago.
Okay, very cool. What university?
It's Francis Marion University. It's a Division II school down there. They're having an okay year. We're like 10 months apart, so we're really close. And
okay.
So I always give her a hard time on things, and she does the same to me.
What about music? What pumps you up before a game?
Just about anything. You know, really? you can ask all these guys. I kind of listen to anything. It really doesn't matter what it is. If I'm feeling too amped up, I just kind of calm myself down with some like slower music or whatever. But there's nothing really specific I listen to.
I noticed a couple of videos that were tweeted out during the games that y'all were playing. Y'all do a lot of dancing around and stuff and throwing hand signals up and kind of rocking it out a little bit. Is that something that you guys talk about performing during games, or just, I mean, it looks very in sync.
Right. I think it was more of a spur of the moment thing. I was on first base, so I didn't really get to partake in the dancing in the dugout, but I think that just goes to show you that, you know, as locked in as we are, we can also kind of relax and have some fun at the same time and realize that baseball is just the game and we don't need to press ourselves too much.
And while I was talking about the dancing, which is great and everything, I mean, that'd be fun to do. Do you ever find, I mean, do you, because you did have the knee injury and you did have the surgery, do you kind of avoid that kind of stuff? Even if you did have the chance, would you kind of lay off that opportunity? Do you ever worry about re-injuring it, or have you been able to move on from that focus on possibly getting hurt again?
I definitely moved on from it. You know, I'm all about having a good time, you know, just staying relaxed, having fun while you play. The injury I kind of had was kind of a freak incident. You know, it was while I was playing a game. So obviously the play that I did it on, if I do that again, it kind of is like a mental block. Like, it's like, okay, I need to chill out. Nothing happened. It's all good. But definitely moved on. Everything's fine down with my knee and everything, and we're all good.
All right, one more question before I let you go. What do you want to work on in terms of your hitting your defense as you go throughout the season?
Just staying consistent. You know, that's kind of been a thing for me throughout my entire life. You know, I'll have a good week here and there, and then I'll kind of, you know, even out a little bit, kind of drop a little bit. But just staying consistent, you know, offensively and defensively, and just trying to enjoy myself.
All right, well, it was a pleasure talking to you. Congratulations again on that Player of the Week honor there, and best of luck against Crowder this weekend.
Thank you, appreciate it.
That is Joey Pollock for Jefferson College Baseball. We'll return with pitcher Riley Boyd coming up in just 30 seconds or so here on Viking Voices on KJFF.
Home Service Oil has been the fuel delivery leader in our area for over 8 decades. Home Service Oil on-site delivery is made to homes, farms, construction sites, and for commercial accounts for both fleet and agricultural fueling and so much more. Call Home Service Oil today at 1-800-467-5044 or log on to hsoil.com for more information. Home Service Oil, delivering more since 1930. Call 1-800-467-5044.
We've made it easier than ever to listen to this radio station. Hear us anywhere, anytime on the free iHeartRadio app. The music, your favorite personalities, and the coolest contests all happen with one app. Listen to your favorite station wherever you want. Download the free iHeartRadio app today and let's start streaming.
Matt Greenwood at Jefferson College, home of the Vikings, wrapping up the Viking Voices program here today on KJFF with right-handed pitcher Riley Boyd for the Vikings, who over the weekend against Three Rivers went 7 innings, got the complete game there as they stopped the game after 7 innings, only surrendered 2 hits and struck out 8 guys. And you look at the stats before that, and this was clearly the best performance that Riley Boyd has had on the year. So, Riley, welcome onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you hail from El Dorado, Missouri. Where the heck is that?
It's El Dorado Springs, Missouri, and it's southeast from here. It's about 4.5-5 hours, and it's middle of nowhere. It's a farm town. There's hardly anybody there. I mean, like, you never hear of it or ever see it, promise you.
Okay. So I'm envisioning whenever you got a baseball player that comes from a farm town, I'm imagining balls thrown up against the barn, or there's a fence out there that you kind of play a little, you know, pretend like you're robbing home runs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely old school. A lot of coaches I've had are really old school guys. I've had a lot of experience. I've never had a young coach like Pat Evers. I've always had old school guys, really strict and down to the point and like no room for error. So it's really nice being here with Coach Evers.
Let's talk about that pitching performance. Obviously a lot of high praise from Coach Evers. What do you feel about that performance?
I was really satisfied with my performance. That's what I was supposed to do. It's what I need to do, be consistent like that. But I'm still not satisfied with my pitching performance. I know I can do better. Like, instead of having 2 hits, I want none. Like, we're always hungry. We want more. We always want to be the best there is.
You ever throw a no-hitter in high school?
I threw a couple in high school. I think I threw 3 or 4, but I was also a 2A school. I mean, I was kind of a big dog in my town, so
okay.
We didn't play a whole lot of big schools, so it was kind of easier than being here. So it's definitely humbling being here.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at the region here, and it's a very tough competition, and Crowder's going to be tough competition for you guys, and you're going to get a chance to pitch. Did Coach Evers say which game you'll be pitching?
I'll be the first one. I'll be the opener. So it's kind of I played summer ball in a very big league. I played a lot of good competition growing up, and I've always played big-time names, big-time guys, so I'm really ready for this. I prepared myself right away.
All right, so right-handed pitcher, I think, let's see, you look at the roster and you're listed. Well, there is no listing. What are you, about 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3", like 205 pounds.
All right, always been a big kid?
I've always been taller. I've always been really skinny, but since I got here, I really started working out serious and eating properly and taking care of my body, and it really paid off.
You notice an increase in your fastball?
Yeah, in high school I was mid-80s, and now I've gotten up to 90, 91, just sitting there, so it's really, really nice to see that happening.
All right, so, you a four-seam, two-seam guy, mixing both?
Both. I throw two-seam, four-seam, slider, change, and a curve. And so I really just work on spotting up, because 90, 91 here, I realized in college that doesn't get you anywhere. So you got to learn how to spot up your pitches no matter how hard you throw. So
when you were in high school and you had your fastball in the mid-80s, at what point did you kind of realize or kind of say to yourself, all right, let's get this up to 90, 91 when I go to college, maybe 92, 93? What's kind of been the goal with where you want your fastballs?
In high school, I really relied on fastballs. In high school, mid-80s get by a lot with it. And coming here, I really just knew I needed to get my velo up to get where I want to go. And it just keeps climbing, and I hope I keep climbing even further than what I am right now.
Now, when you say curveball, we're talking like Roy Oswalt 69, 70 mile per hour curve. We're talking Syndergaard, you know, 87, 88 mile per hour curve.
I throw my curve really hard, pretty hard, but I normally rely on my slider, which helps me get a lot of outs on it, and I can spot up sometimes with it. I mean, it's really a good pitch for me. I rely on it a lot.
What was working for you against Three Rivers?
Definitely a two seam. I was spotting over my two seam, and it had some tail on it that day, so it really just paid off. And they were having a lot of missed swings, and they would hit some ground balls because they couldn't get on time with it.
Was it cold out? I can't.
No, it was actually pretty nice that day. Okay. It wasn't that bad. It was really warm that day. Actually, got lucky. So.
Have you pitched in really cold weather?
Yeah, it's not very fun, but we've been preparing right for cold weather, so we expect it and we are ready for it. So.
Does that change the style of pitching the way you go whenever it's cold?
Not really. We kind of go out with the same mentality and same thing, attack hitters and things like that. But cold weather, like, it's, you got to learn how to grip the ball. It's like throwing an ice ball sometimes, but you got to learn how to deal with it. So,
ever had any blisters on your fingers?
Oh, every time I pitch, we always have blisters on the fingers.
Okay. All right. But not enough to keep you out.
No. It's just a natural thing for pitchers.
Okay. Well, I've never been a pitcher. I mean, I've never been much of a baseball player myself. But anyway, all right. So. Again, you had a good performance. You say you want to get better, and you could have been better. As you said, you gave up two hits. You prefer no hits, that sort of thing. So, what have you been working on since then? Is it more been icing up the shoulder, or have you actually had a chance to do some long toss warm up kind of thing?
No, we do. Coach Evers has done a really good job with us, getting us in a routine where we can go every so often, and we do the same thing, and we just work on what we need to work on. And so a lot of my things is just locating my pitches really well, and so that's what I work on a lot after. And then we have one day a long toss to strengthen our arm back up and keeping it healthy. So we do a really good job of keeping our arms healthy and just work on what we need to work on.
Okay. You know, one thing I forgot to ask Joey was kind of where he gets his batting stance, because I noticed he kind of keeps the hands close a little bit,
yeah,
kind of waves them about, and I couldn't really – I was trying to think of all the major leaguers that I've seen and who he kind of compares to, but I really couldn't think of any. But and you probably don't know, but in terms of pitchers at the major league level, you growing up, you're what, 20 years old?
I'm so actually 18. One of the young guys on the team.
Okay. Well, that's right. You are a freshman. All right. So yeah, you're 18. You got any major league pitchers that you grew up watching that you kind of try to go after?
Had one specifically. I always just love guys that went out and did their jobs, and I always just paid attention to the guys that were really good and just picked up on little things here and there. And I just love watching pitching. It's a beautiful thing to watch when people do it really well. So
you and I agree 100% on that. That's my favorite aspect of baseball is the pitching. And some people say, well, it's so much easier to pitch than it is to hit. I'm sure. But all pitchers, of course, say the other way.
Yeah. I suggest them try to pitch, though, see if they can do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get the outfielders or infielders that come in a blowout, and they're throwing, you know, 65 miles an hour and getting, you know, hit around and whatever.
Yeah.
And so they kind of get a little taste as to what it's like to be a pitcher. You got a favorite baseball team, major league level?
Cardinals, for sure.
Cardinals?
Yeah,
okay.
I got some family up here, and I've always been a homegrown Cardinals fan.
All right, so what do you think about their team this year?
They got a lot of young prospects coming in, and got some good pickups during the offseason. I hope they do really well. And they've had a really good spring training so far, so hopefully it carries over.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just take a wild guess at Albert Pujols, your favorite Cardinal of all time.
No, I'm actually a huge Chris Carpenter fan.
Okay.
Pitcher, so.
Yeah, he always had the little thing underneath his chin, right? The little...
Yeah,
little
goatee.
Yeah, little goatee,
yeah,
there.
And he was a big-time player in postseason games and always showed up on postseason games, and I had a lot of respect for that.
You know what? I should have known that because he's a pitcher and you're a pitcher, so yeah. I should have known that. All right. Tell us quickly a little bit about yourself. You got any siblings as well?
I actually have a little sister. She just turned 4, and she's pretty awesome. It's awesome going to her after games because she don't know if I win or lost, so it helps my day if I do bad, too, just seeing her. And so it makes it fun. She don't know if I won or lost, and she's always in the same mood. It helps me get over things.
All right, well, Riley, best of luck against Crowder this weekend. I know you're opening, so good luck getting Jeffco off to a good start, and congratulations on the early season success.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That is Riley Boyd joining us on Viking Voices. Catch the full show online later on this evening. That'll do it for us from the campus of Jefferson College. It's been Viking Voices on KJFF.